It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
This morning, we filed a criminal complaint in Dane County Circuit Court charging three defendants in connection with an alleged conspiracy to have electors who were not duly appointed presidential electors meet and cast votes in Wisconsin in December 2020.
That's Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call on Tuesday announcing felony forgery charges against three people for their efforts to overturn the 2020 election results in the state. That audio courtesy of Wisconsin Eye.
That makes Wisconsin the fifth battleground state to issue charges related to the so-called fake elector scheme. It comes 5 months before the November presidential election.
Lily Gorin joins us now for a look at the latest. Lily is a professor of political science and global studies at Carroll University in Waukesha. Lily, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Always happy to talk about the Electoral College.
These charges relate to the signing of a document by the Republican slate of potential electors. This is back in late 2020, certifying that they were Wisconsin's electors, though the Democratic electoral slate was the real one. Remind us of how big a role, though, these slates of so-called fake electors became in the run-up to January 6th, the effort to change the election results.
Well, the electors, or the fake elector scheme, as it's sort of now become called, was really the basis for a lot of the argument that the election was not, sort of fully and free and certified. And so what was happening on January 6th was the counting of these slates of electors and a number of states, I think there were seven, that had competing states of slates of electors. And the scheme was to try to get Mike Pence to at least put aside the electors from a variety of these states like Arizona and Wisconsin because there were sort of competing slates, or to honor the certified ones that were fake. And so all of these sort of fake slates of electors were contributing parts of what ultimately became the assault on the Capitol on January 6th as well.
We've got three people charged with felony forgery. They're attorneys Jim Troupas and Kenneth Chesbro and Mike Roman, who worked for former President Donald Trump's campaign. The attorney general says, hey, there may be more as we dig into the facts here. How significant do you see these charges being filed now against those three key figures on the effort to get those documents signed and transmitted?
Well, if there are other states that have already charged a number of these same individuals with forgery, which is a felony criminal charge, and that's what we're really talking about here, is the fact that the fake elector certification was a forged document, essentially, a fake document that was passed off as legitimate and real. And what has happened in Wisconsin was there was also a lawsuit against the 10 individuals who cast ballots as essentially fraudulent electors, as well as I believe Chesbro was part of that that original civil litigation that has been resolved. Now we're moving into a criminal litigation against these three gentlemen that is more similar to some of the stuff that's been happening in other states.
And that timeline may answer the question of why now, why these charges are being filed so late. That civil lawsuit was just resolved really a handful of months ago. Part of the resolution was that the defendants in this case, Jim Troupas and Kenneth Chesbro, had to release a whole bunch of documents. And some of those show up, I believe, in the charging statements here. We see texts and emails from the defendants between them and others. Is that, as you see it, part of why we're seeing this now and not a year or 2 years ago?
Yeah, I believe that a lot of those documents, particularly the correspondence between these three individuals, which were also connecting into the broader national Trump presidential campaign, came forward, as you note, as a result of that civil litigation. And I believe also some of these documents came out of other criminal cases in other states around the sort of fraudulent elector schemes in those states. And so there's a lot more documentation that the attorney general here in Wisconsin has been able to sort of comb through to see the communication that this was, intentional, and that there was a plan and what the plan was. And so it wasn't, you know, a kind of like, oh, let's just try this and see if it works.
Talking to Lily Gorin from Carroll University, looking at the felony forgery charges filed by Wisconsin's attorney general against three key figures who were involved in the scheme to get Republican electors to sign a document saying, hey, we're the electors, and to get that transmitted as though they were the electors in the 2020 election. All right, Lily, some states have charged the electors, the people who signed these documents themselves. No charges there so far, the civil suit you mentioned, but they're not being charged by the attorney general. I want to hear from one of them, Wisconsin's former Republican Party official, Andrew Hitt, talking here with 60 Minutes in February about the investigations and the lawsuit.
Whenever anybody sees our text messages, our emails, our documents, they understand, they know, their conclusion is we were tricked.
And that's a key point here, and maybe why the people who signed this elector document weren't charged. It was presented to them, they say, as, hey, this is a contingency. If there's a future court ruling that says, no, Biden didn't win, Trump won after all, we need electors to have signed this document by this date, or those electoral votes aren't going to count anyway. Can you talk about that part of the story and that potentially important distinction?
Yeah, and this is a distinction that is different in Pennsylvania,
right?
Because in Pennsylvania, the electors there asked specifically that the certification notice include essentially a line that said if these votes are only on the contingency of, you know, sort of future legal issues. That was not included in the Wisconsin certification with regard to the 10 Trump electors. And so there's some discussion about whether some of the electors were aware of this and others were not, because one of the other persons casting one of the fake elector votes noted that they knew that the court had finished its decision that morning, in fact, and that there were no more pending legal issues in Wisconsin.
What we see in the charging documents here, the electors, as they present themselves, say, hey, we didn't know about this plan to use these documents on January 6th, even if the courts don't overturn the outcome here. A lot of the communication leading up to this by the defendant says they knew this was part of a plan. Even if the courts didn't overturn this, they were going to try to put this in Mike Pence's hand, then Vice President Mike Pence's hands, and say, okay, you've got two sets of electors from our state here. You can't count either of them. Of course, in reality, he would have had one list of electors and one piece of scratch paper, basically. How important is it, though, that the attorney general is trying to establish this case that this was a plan from the get-go, a contingency for January 6th?
Well, I think that it is, in terms of the criminal charges that have been brought against Roman, Troupas, and Chesbrough, that they, in fact, devised this scheme, and that this was the plan from the beginning, is to put forward, competing slates of electors so that there would be, you know, sort of chaos and confusion on January 6th when the vice president has to count the votes and potentially put aside these competing slates. And that would potentially give Donald Trump the Electoral College win if these Electoral College votes from the seven states were all put aside.
This is all about the 2020 election, but hey, it's 2024. We've got a new presidential election. If people hadn't noticed, we're in the midst of it right now. Do you, Lily, see charges like this in states like Wisconsin potentially having an impact, voters taking notice of these charges and having it affect their decisions one way or another?
They may have a slight impact. It may be something that people do pay attention to. Obviously, with regard to, sort of the base of the Republican Party or the base of the Democratic Party, I'm not necessarily sure that these charges will have much of an effect. But because Wisconsin is such a tight swing state, this may, you know, be something that people pay some attention to. Obviously, there are a lot of other legal issues that are floating around this campaign as well. You know, felony charges against the former president, who's also now potentially the Republican nominee. So there's a lot of stuff that voters may have to chew on in terms of different issues around the election and the candidates for president, as well as the way that the campaigns were run in 2020.
Now, one response here, Wisconsin Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, after these charges filed on social media, said these charges are outrageous and wrote, quote, Democrats are weaponizing Wisconsin's judiciary and, quote, turning America into a banana republic. You mentioned the charges against Trump. Those comments seem to echo some attacks on the judiciary system itself. In our last minute or so, Lily, what do you make of this key Republican official saying, hey, our judiciary itself is corrupt because of some of these charges?
Well, this is unfortunate because it undermines the rule of law that the United States is fundamentally based on. And this is problematic as a talking point that we've been hearing not only from Ron Johnson in regard to these particular charges, but also, you know, sort of broadly with regard to the case that was brought against former President Trump in New York. But Ron Johnson is, if you read through some of the documents from this case, Ron Johnson is inside some of these conversations as well.
Right. Senator Johnson at one point was a stopping point for these documents, or there was an effort to get him to transmit them or his chief of staff to Vice President Pence. Lily, just in our last few moments, what are you watching for next on this ongoing saga of the non-electors?
Well, I mean, again, it's not just in Wisconsin. We have some of these issues going on in Georgia and Arizona as well. So Chesbrough, as well as Troupas, are being subpoenaed and charged in a number of cases that are very similar to the one that is ongoing in Wisconsin as well.
Lily, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Lily Gorin is a professor of political science and global studies at Carroll University in Waukesha.
You're listening to Wisconsin Today. When you're looking for the top news from around the state, you can check out WPR's podcast called Wisconsin Today Morning News. It is available now, and you can subscribe and listen wherever you get your podcasts or at WPR.org. We'll be right back.